This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tony Jones covers the Jazz and the NBA for the Salt Lake Tribune. He's getting ready for tomorrow night's game with the Jazz and Thunder in Salt Lake, and we thought we'd bring him on the bench to talk about it and how the series is going. Tony, thanks for coming on, brother.
Thanks for having me, man. How's everything?
It's great. Hey, so, you know, I love this team. I think they're fun to watch and, you know, come together. And everyone, I think, is starting to notice Mitchell. And we've seen this team before do things in Salt Lake the way they play at home. I expect them to handle their business in these games at home the way they have produced on their home floor. I mean, they've looked good everywhere, I think, let alone the way they play in their own building.
You know what the funny thing is and the ironic thing is they're usually a great home team, and they haven't been great this year. Like, they've been good at home, but they haven't been great. So, you know, that leads me to believe that I think, you know, I think the series is going seven, because if I had to guess what happens this weekend, I would think a split happens. You know, but for some reason, especially in the second half of the season, the Jazz have actually been a better team on the road than they have been at Vivint Smart Home Arena. That being said, it's going to be a loud, raucous atmosphere. I experienced the playoffs there last year for the first time, and it's one of the best basketball atmospheres that I've ever been in. So it's going to be crazy. But we'll see if the Jazz can actually start playing better at home than they have been in the second half of the regular season.
What do you think of the job Mitchell's done in those first couple of games? He's been amazing.
Yeah, he has been. And obviously, you know, the stats speak for themselves, the 55 points in two games. But, you know, it's the way that he was able to take over game two. I mean, he essentially scored 20 points in the last minute of the third quarter and in the fourth quarter. He had about 8 points with about 2 minutes left in the third quarter and just took the game over. And he did it with the majority of the time, Paul George guarding him. And Paul George, by my estimation, is one of the best three or four perimeter defenders in the league. But Donovan, you know, he's a guy that, you know, I hate to compare him to somebody so legendary, but I mean, he has a Kobe Bryant mentality. He's going to go at you no matter who you are, what kind of reputation you have, how good you are. It doesn't matter to him. He's going to go at you for 48 minutes, and that's what he's done in these two games against the Thunder. The difference, you know, in game one and game two is his teammates played much better in game two than they did in game one. And he was able to close Oklahoma City out essentially by himself on the road.
So how's his foot after he got it jacked in game one? Is it okay?
Yeah, it's okay. It was painful for him at first. The first 24 hours were really painful for him. But, you know, I think the spread out first round schedule worked in the Jazz's favor here. The Jazz had two days of rest in between games one and game two instead of the customary, you know, what you usually see, the 1 day of rest. So I think that helped tremendously, that second day of treatment. And, you know, I thought he wasn't as explosive early in game two, especially he had a breakaway, which he'd usually wind up and throw down a thunderous dunk, but he just laid it up. But he got more explosive as the game went on. And I attribute that to adrenaline and just simply not thinking about it. And I thought that he was much more able to get by people in the second half and in the fourth quarter. So I think he's okay, and the Jazz have officially listed him as probable for tomorrow night. But there's no question that he's going to play.
And can he handle Tony Jones with us from the Salt Lake trip? Can he handle all these minutes, this burn he's playing? He played like 43 minutes the other night. He's just like, he's like the nonstop. This guy's just going at it end to end.
Yeah, you know, he. It was funny because, you know, when Quinn Snyder, you know, essentially played him the entire second half, he played him, you know, to get him on the floor with the Jazz second unit, which had kind of been outplayed in the first two games. But, you know, he's played, you know, 33, 34 minutes during the regular season, and especially with the 2 days off, and I think he's going to be fine playing 40-plus minutes. I think that becomes more of a question later in the series when you get to games five, game six, and game seven, when you're playing every other day.
So tell me about, like, because I thought one of the most important thing I saw from that team, believe it or not, in OKC was in that second game was what Rudy and Derek were doing on the glass in that game. Oh, my God. I mean, they just absolutely, the two of them went off. They got every single rebound, and I just don't see how you can lose a game, actually, when you've got guys boxing out like that and getting all those rips.
Well, the one of the adjustments that Quinn Snyder made in game two was he kept Favors out there for heavy minutes, and he kept Favors and Gobert out there together. And he said, okay, we're not going to go small to try to match up with Carmelo Anthony at power forward. We're going to stay big, and if Carmelo Anthony goes for 30 on us, that means that Paul George doesn't have the basketball, and that means that Russell Westbrook doesn't have the basketball. So I think that it was a great calculation by Snyder, and Derek Favors, he played the game of his life. He had 20 points. He had 16 rebounds. He was, as you said, he was a monster on the glass, particularly the offensive glass. He even hit 2 3-pointers, and Derek Favors is about a 22% three-point shooter. So, you know, he really essentially gave the Jazz the best of both worlds. You know, they were able to stay big, and he was still able to stretch the floor, even though I don't know how sustainable Derek Favors shooting 2 for 3 from three-point range would ever be.
Yeah, that's scary when he pulls up from three, but whatever, two of them fell. I thought, yeah, you mentioned his offensive work on the boards. You get a guy getting that kind of productivity at that end of the floor and getting 8 of those second chances and getting rebounds like that, it's a good thing. Tell me what the Tony Jones with us from the Salt Lake trip, do you feel that Rubio, because I like his game, I still like watching him play and dish it. I thought he looked good in the game. He was nailing threes left and right, and you know, he had like, I don't know, whatever it was, he might have had double figs and dimes, but he was, you know, doing his thing. My question to you is like, because I don't know the ins and outs of the Jazz. Do they like him? Like, do his teammates like him? Do they? What's the story on him playing there? Do they dig him?
He's been a lot better in the second half of the season than he has in the first half of the season. In the first half of the season, I thought, you know, this is not working. You know, he wasn't shooting the ball well, but more concerning was he was turning the basketball over. He wasn't getting the Jazz into their offense, and they were essentially, you know, better with him off the floor in large spurts. And then for some reason, I mean, the switch just flipped. For as bad as he was in the first half of the season, that's how good he's been in the second half of the season. You know, he figured out, you know, I've asked him, you know, why has he gotten better? You know, he said he's figured out his teammates. He's figured out where Rudy Gobert likes the basketball. He's figured out where Donovan Mitchell likes the basketball, where Joe Ingles likes the basketball. And he's started to make better reads, and he started to make shots. And he's worked with Jazz assistant Igor Kokoskov, you know, on development. And the Jazz have empowered Ricky Rubio, where Tom Thibodeau in Minnesota told Rubio, listen, just go out there, run my offense, don't turn the basketball over, get in transition, never take a shot outside of the paint. The Jazz have said, okay, if you are open from three-point range, for our offense to work, you have to shoot the basketball and you have to make shots. You know, so when you're a basketball player and you have the confidence of your head coach, it just makes all of the difference in the world. And the Jazz have empowered Ricky Rubio to shoot the basketball, make or miss. And I think that it's done a world of good for his game overall.
So, do you think, Tony, that something's wrong with Joe's game? Ingles, he's like game one, I thought was more like him. Game two, I thought he was terrible.
Well, there's nothing wrong with him per se. The problem is he's being guarded by Paul George. And when Paul George is guarding you and is draped all over you, it's going to be difficult. Paul's done a terrific job of not letting Ingles get the Jazz into their pick and roll. A huge part of their offense is the Ingles-Rudy Gobert pick and roll. And Joe Ingles has averaged over six assists a game in the month of March, and he's averaged over seven assists a game month of April, and he had one assist in game one, and he wasn't much better in game two. So Paul George has completely taken Joe out of the series so far. Now, that being said, Joe on the defensive end was sensational in game two. He held Paul George to 6-21 from the field, and he was a plus 21, which is the best net rating on the team. So offensively, it's going to be tough for him because he's going to have Paul George on him for much of the series, unless Paul George switches on to Mitchell in the first three quarters in game three. But if he can't get going and get that pick and roll going, it definitely affects the Jazz offense overall.
What do you think? Tony Jones covers the Jazz and the NBA for the Salt Lake trip. Great paper. Do you think Quinn, do you like him as a coach? Do you like watching him, what he's doing with the Jazz? Do they like him a lot?
Well, I think he's one of the top five coaches in the league. I mean, I think, you know, if you look at the coaches, I think you look at, obviously, Greg Popovich. You look at Brad Stevens. You look at Rick Carlisle down in Dallas, although Dallas is struggling. He's up there with those guys. I mean, he's a master tactician in terms of in-game preparation. He's really good at making adjustments. He was good in the series last year against the Los Angeles Clippers. There wasn't much he could do against Golden State. I think the Jazz staff collectively is one of the best player development staffs that I've seen. So, you know, he's a guy that I think that Dennis Lindsay hit a home run with that pick, and I think he's a guy who should be on the short list for NBA Coach of the Year.
I'll tell you what, I can't wait to see more of this series. Thunder Jazz, 10 East tomorrow night, Game 3 in Salt Lake Shakers. Tony, my man, thanks a lot for giving us the skinny on the Jazz. Looking forward to seeing the game tomorrow night. Have fun.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
My man, Tony Jones with the Salt Lake Trib with us tonight.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.